Welcome to the Get Up Power Hour. Boom, 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 bam, boom, 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 bam. I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like lightning in a thunderstorm, baby. You are right here for the greatest hour of radio in your entire life. It's the Get Up Power Hour every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on 1520 WCHE. Yo, Keg, kick that jam cab. Let's go. Put that loud. Pump that up. We are rocking Westchester from the wall to the ceiling and beyond. There is no quit here, ladies and gentlemen. Every Thursday, we are dedicated to bringing you the most dope show, and we're talking mindset, attitude, positivity, tenacity, discipline, every single thing that you need in your success recipe book so you could smash those goals, so you could smash those false glass ceilings and fears, or you could just take that very first step out of bed onto the floor, starting your journey. Remember, friends, every marathon starts with a first step. And today, we're going to be stepping, baby. I brought a rock star guest on. Before I get her onto the show, just want to welcome everyone once again. Once again, how great are Thursdays? It's like the greatest day ever. And I'm your host, Mark Hayford, Mark with the C. You are listening to the Get Up Power Hour. Hey, hit me up on all your social media. I'm out there on Insta, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, LinkedIn, the tube, right? You could DM me, PM me, email me, getup@markhayford.com. Yo, when you're at markhayford.com, did you know you can, your friend in Glasgow, Scotland can listen to this show because they can live stream it global from markhayford.com or right here at 1520 WCHE. So while you're at markhayford.com, you'll go check out each of my number one books, Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life, and 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life. Each of them bad boys went number one in Amazon's self-help category the day they were released, and you guys did that. So I want to thank you, Get Up Army. Much love for you coming over the airwaves into your homes, workplaces, cars, and wherever you are. Hey, while you're out there, check this out. Go get the audiobook of Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life. Because you're like, bro, I can't read. Or I ain't got time to read. Or I ain't trying to read. Well, okay, well, go listen to it every day. And if you cannot get enough of the Get Up Power Hour, if you're like, Hayford, please don't go. Please. I need you in my life. I need to hear this jibber-jabber, scribber-scrabber. Okay, listen. Every single day, we got the Get Up podcast, and that's a thought of the day. It follows the second book, 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life, and as it follows it every day, it's a thought of the day. It's an aggressive schedule. You wind up having it where it's like whatever the thought of the day is, we just rip into it, read it from the book, and then we go live, and it's unedited because we ain't trying to live in filters. And as a matter of fact, this is going to go right in step because I did today's podcast this morning. And what I'm going to do now is read you today's message. So for those of you that have the benefit of having the book, 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life in your sweaty little palms at home, please turn to page 44 as it is the 44th day of the year. I just pulled a piece of fuzz off of Kev's back. He didn't know what was going on. It's okay. Just make sure he's safe. Kev always makes us sound good because I have a face for radio. Yo, it's Thursday, February 13th. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. It's the day for lovers. So make sure you get your honey a little something-something. You know what I'm saying? You heard it right here from your friend Mark Hayford. But here we go. February 13th reads as such. If you don't, who will? It only takes one to start it. Be the revolution. Be the freaking revolution. Everybody's playing too safe these days. Everybody's looking at everybody else. Everybody's sitting on their hands. Everybody's afraid what to say. There's too much divisiveness. Blah, 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 blah. Start it. Step out. Step out of the crowd. Make it happen. Be the one. The people that are heralded as the household names that we have the most adulation for, that we have the most love in our hearts for. We quote their memes all over social media. Those are the ones who stepped out, who weren't afraid about the naysayers and the haters, because when you're speaking truth, you're going to have them. So get used to it and get ready. But you got to start. You got to take a step and you got to be an advocate. If not you, then who's going to do it? And that leads me, is a perfect segue to today's guest. Woo! Let me tell you something. If I could grow hair, Get Up Army, I would. Now, the person I brought on, you know how we do here on the Get Up Power Hour, right? We're always trying to bring on people that have either fought through adversity or they have a cause or they're doing something that's going to uplift other people. And I know there's lots of great causes and I know there's lots of great messages and all kinds of stuff, but we want to bring you the best of the best. We've had millionaires. We've had inventors. We've had authors. We've had former professional athletes. We run the gamut, and we try to keep it fresh and hot for you here. Thus, the greatest power hour of Mindset Radio you're ever going to hear. So today, I went local. I went local here in the Pennsylvania area. And I brought on a lady who is, she's running the charge, and she's doing stuff that, quite frankly, when I first heard about it, I was a little like, wow, that's impressive, and it's a little intimidating. And the fact that she has the cojones, can I say that on the radio, Kev, cojones? In English, I can, okay. So, she has the guts to start the revolution, to be one who's stepping out and doing something different and following her passion and following her dreams and making a change. So the person I'm going to introduce to you right now, I want you to get off your couch. I want you to tell your boss that that meeting can wait one more minute. Let the brownies bake and burn another second in the oven, because I want you to put your hands together. This guest is voted the 2020 Vista Millennial Superstar. This is the Director of Justice and Reentry Services at the Transformation Yoga Project. And she is the voice of the future, an advocate for change. Put your hands together for the guest of the Get Up Power Hour, Breanne Murphy! Woo! High five.
Wow, that's an intro.
What's up, Bree?
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listen, no. Thank you for taking the time and coming here to the Get Up Power Hour. We were texting a lot, and you even told me this morning, you're like, well, listen, when the show's over, I got a jet because I have to run to a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So we're gonna get all into this, because I just gave like a laundry list of accomplishments and things that you have going on. I want to break this down. I want to introduce you to the listeners. I want to introduce your message to the listeners. I want to get to know more about you and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And the overview, and I'm sure Bree's going to, you know, she'll tighten the screws on the message here. But what she basically does is she goes into, and I know she's going to correct me, and I'm going to tell you about this in a minute. But she's taking yoga and using it as a platform, if that's, and if I'm correct with this, and going into prisons, going into state prisons and possibly penitentiaries, things of such, and working with people who are incarcerated or are quote-unquote inmates. I'm going to be delicate with my language here. And she's helping them either get reformed or working with it. And this is what I want to talk about, because this is so different than what many of us do. Many of us play it safe. You're not playing it safe. You're kind of stepping out. And the way you're looking at me, right, there's like a ferocity in there somewhere. Like, you're just looking at me like, yeah, dude, that's what I do. Like, I just eat that for breakfast. Is that pretty much right?
Well, I work with an organization of so many motivated and passionate people that are both incarcerated directly and not. And we offer trauma-sensitive yoga and philosophy programs to people who are experiencing incarceration or close to mass incarceration, meaning like directly impacted and affected by it. And so I would say that what we really do is, it's not so much helping, I think you use the phrase helping people reform. It's much, much more about tapping into the leadership that already exists inside of these institutions and being able to build community across the barriers that systemically exist to be able to then expand impact, to create together and to provide some sort of access to tools that have been meaningful in my life. And I know for our other instructors and our teammates, tools that have been meaningful for them.
Hmm. Excuse me a second.
Sure.
Hey, Kev, I think she may be too smart to be on the show. I don't know. I don't. What'd she say? Wow. You are like, I'm joking. You're like in it to win it, man. You are educated on what you are doing. And I could tell you're running with a pack who's got that mm-hmm. same, because people aren't just showing up to exist if they're doing what you're doing. They're out on purpose.
Yeah, it feels like that for sure. Certainly not to anything to be on this show. I think I said to you on the phone even.
You're very humble, which is very interesting to me, because you would think that you would have a very big personality to go out and do this, and you really don't.
Oh, I do. You haven't been in my classes before. I make the same corny joke over and over again. No, but I mean, I think that it's important what you said, like running with a pack, to acknowledge that like a lot of my learning has come from the patience and the grace of people who like have the patience to read a lot more than I do, who are either like directly experiencing this severe impact of incarceration or you know, just come from different backgrounds. And so their kind of grace and patience has educated me to be able to be like, okay, this is how I can integrate this into my life, represent it for me as an individual, integrate it into the work that we do, and also co-create alongside of people who I feel like I'm like, oh, too smart and educated to be in my pack. I love this.
Oh, it's great. No, it's great. And you know, I it doesn't matter when you look across the board and you just step away from it, what, mm-hmm. what it is that you're doing. When you're speaking your truth, I find, you know, from so many different guests, from anyone that has whatever the cause is, your people are going to come, right? When you're playing that, and that comes from your soul, that comes from inside, when you're on purpose and you have intentions and you mean it, they're going to come. So I think that's why so many people, one message that I, especially when I work a lot in schools and with kids, it's about live your life, sing your song. Don't try to be in step with everybody else. And that's exactly what you're doing. I want to get into you a little bit and mm-hmm. your background. And so before we start going into the mission itself. So, when we talk, listen, we talked and you were like, okay, you said, if I'm going to be on the show, like, buckle up. Here we go. Because, like, you said to me, I will probably be your most annoying guest ever because I'll be correcting you. And I'm like, no, I love it because it's educating me. Mm-hmm. And even in texting yesterday, I blasted, you know, I did the LinkedIn, on the gram, I did Wastebook, right? And I was like, yo, I got Bree Murphy coming on here. The show's just got hot. And you were like, yo, it's awesome. Hey, would you mind changing the one thing where it says voice of the voiceless to, and you said, because everybody has a voice. So you're very particular about what your message is. Talk about that.
Yeah. Language is really, really powerful. I always find it, you know, like almost like a spiritual practice. Mm. And I'm fortunate to be in community with other people who see it that way as well. It creates the reality that we live in, right? So by your language, it is the most direct way that you can make people safe or unsafe, mm-hmm. protected or unprotected. And so when we are intentional about the way that we speak about either who we are, what we do, or what we believe in, and if we're open to be able to adapt and change and shift those things, then we're actually like expanding our capacity to understand like how we can influence and create the world together. If we are unwilling to change and we are fixed in our language, then we are only going to live the life that we've been given. And in this country, the life that we've been given is predicated on a history of like violence, white supremacist, capitalist ideals. Like certain people count in ways that other people don't just because of their salient social identities. And so if we want to keep sticking with that and like stay with our language, or if we want to accept the power that our language has to be able to really open doors and to learn how to keep people safe, right? Because like that's what it is. It's like lives at risk. Mm-hmm. That's how powerful I believe language to be. Like we're
of work that you are, I think you have to be very specific with the words that you're using. You got to be not careful and but direct and on purpose with that, right? Because I mean, I do agree with what you're saying in the sense of when you're getting comfortable, your comfort zone is a dangerous place, mm-hmm. and if you're not growing, you're dying. I believe that, right? So I believe we play on different frequencies. And too many people are careless with their words and what they're mm-hmm. saying and how they're saying them. Really quick, if I could jump on this, you're a local girl. You graduated Temple, right?
Yes, I did.
Where are you originally from?
I'm from Coatesville.
You're from Coatesville?
Yeah, like East Fallowfield Township. But
awesome.
Coatesville.
Coatesville. Yeah. All right, Coatesville. What's up? And what did you graduate? What am I trying to say here? Yeah, Hayford. Okay.
Hello. I got you.
Real.
What did I graduate with in Temple?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, that's why we got you here. Okay.
Yeah. I'll run it. It's fine. So I graduated with a degree, dual degree in religion, focusing mostly on Buddhism and Buddhist philosophy and visual anthropology.
Now, do you find that those degrees are serving you with what you're doing specifically today in one way or another?
I find that those degrees serve me in the way that I exist in this world. Yes, it's important for what I'm doing, but I think I learned a lot of the skills to do what I do from peers who were community organizing during and like campus organizing throughout school. Mm-hmm. But I think that those degrees really lent me a philosophy that I could start to build upon and integrate in my life to like find the meaning and the soul purpose that you're talking about mm-hmm. In a very different way.
So interesting. All right, now we're going to do a cliffhanger here. Mm. And listen, you're very brave and transparent with what you're doing, and you said you're free to talk about this. At one point, during that time frame, pre-graduating, you're going to school full-time, you're working full-time, you had a mental breakdown. True or false, Bree?
Oh, very true.
Okay.
I didn't do a good cliffhanger, though.
All right, no. Well, here's what we're going to do, Get Up Army. We're going to keep you on a cliffhanger. We're going to run really quick, pay some bills, take a break. We come back. I want to hear how she went through this, having a breakthrough with anxiety and whatever else she was dealing with, to becoming the front runner for leading this charge of what she's doing today. So we will be right back. Do not go anywhere. Get Up Army! We're back in the trenches, baby. Get Up Power Hour. I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like a gutter ball with the bumpers up. That's right. We're going full speed here, right on 1520 WCHE. Hey, my guest, Bree Murphy, is here. She is a rock star. She's doing things in the community, just stepping out of the norm of what everyone else will do. And listen, any type of volunteer services or things that you're going to do that are going to help other people, of course, is needed. Of course, we want that. But what's so impressive to me is what she's doing that is just making a difference with a lot of possibly forgotten people. We're going to get into that in a second, and maybe she'll correct me. Maybe I'm right on. I don't know. I'm speaking as a listener right now because I have so many questions. And first of all, Bree, once again, thanks for being here and taking the time, because you are so busy. And I want to go back to when we left the cliffhanger here. We just, identified you as a local girl here in the Chester County area. You're from East Fallfield, Coatesville, right? Mm-hmm. You went to Temple, graduated with a couple interesting degrees. And now, in this time, when you're at Temple, you're working full-time, you're going to school full-time, it happens. You get overwhelmed. Yeah. Is it anxiety? Is it depression? You have a mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
Yeah, so while I was in the throes of working full-time, school full-time, I think that, when we're young adults, we really have to come face-to-face with, the things that we've carried or the patterns that we've carried from childhood.
Paradigms.
Yeah, especially if we have any predisposition to a mental health challenge, which I found face-to-face that I very much did.
So you identified as a young adult something that was wired into you when you were younger, which is interesting to me because there's adults that go to senior citizen age that never pick up on this.
I mean, yeah, blessing that I could, because I feel like this yoga practice and my yoga practice and my proximity to the people that mean a lot to me has been the biggest key in being able to live with it and live through it and sometimes overcome it and sometimes tip my hat and walk past it.
So hold on a second. Are you telling me you're going through this difficult time of life trying to navigate, as many young adults do? There's so much stress on the young adults that are about to go into college, that are in college, that are coming out of college, when the fact of the matter is there's so much time. There's a, God willing, there's half a century of life left. You know what I mean? There's so much time. You could screw things up till you're 40 and reinvent yourself. That's what the days and age we're living in today. But so many people are looking day to day and they're under this stress, this anxiety, this depression. Are you telling me, Bree Murphy, don't you lie to me, are you telling me that yoga was one of the main factors that helped you stabilize and pull yourself out of this?
It was meditation. So I told you I was studying Buddhist philosophy.
Yes.
And my first encounter with it was oh, wow, I didn't even know that this was an option for a perspective in the world. And it made so much sense.
So when do you meditate? Do you meditate? I'm assuming you still do. Do you do it early mornings, evenings, all throughout the day? What works for you?
Oh, it depends on if I am in a hardcore practice or if I'm just trying to live my life as a practice. And so most of the time I use mantra throughout the day, which is a repeated phrase that I'll say, something that is meaningful to me or something that is sacred to me or is sacred to others and has been passed down, right? And so mantra has definitely been the biggest impact in my mental health because I have the type of anxiety that will fixate on an idea that causes anxiety. And so it'll sit there. And so when I was in school, I felt like I didn't know who I was and couldn't trust this idea of who I thought that I was anymore.
Pause that right there.
Sure.
So all you listeners, listen, do you hear what she's saying? Here's somebody who is going through this massive self-doubt, this anxiety, mm-hmm. these issues, and now has overcome it and stepped out and is helping others step out. Not so much with anxiety and depression, but is living her life out because she was able to face her fears head on. Much respect to that. I love that you're handling that and that you got reins on that mm-hmm. and control of that. Because most people don't and most people can't. That's mad respect. So at this point, now, is it gone or is it under control?
Oh, it's not gone. And sometimes it's under control.
And you
said that,
and you're laughing about it, but you're still being a trendsetter. And you're still, I mean, you were voted the 2020 Vista Millennial Superstar so far.
Yes, one of.
But I mean, you're in the, and here's someone that is human, that mm-hmm. is like all of us, imperfect, that deals with stuff day to day, and you're still, you keep on trucking. That is awesome. And I think more people need to model that. Tell me this. You get through your journey, you get moving. Let's you know, get up to speed here. So mm-hmm. now community service starts happening for you, right? And community organizing, I guess, in a sense. Where does that come into this?
Yeah, so that was one of the biggest things that helped me to find and like tap into who I was, right? So I was starting to integrate the practices of meditation that I was fortunate to have a professor who could like teach me how to do these things that I was learning about and like start to live the things that I was like intellectually beginning to understand, integrate them into my body. And then just this push for like, I have access to this because, you know, I can pay to go to school. I'm here at a university. Like a teacher is willing to give me this amount of like individualized attention. And I didn't need any, like, other than those things, I didn't need to pay for a therapist every week. I mean, I go to therapy, props to therapy.
Many people do.
Yeah. So it's like the practice was the tool, and then it comes from inside of you, right? Like this resilience or strength or truth about who we are and our capacity and capabilities comes from within. And so, along that time, I mean, I went to school during the Occupy movement, so it was like popping in Philadelphia, like Occupy Temple and like all the other schools that were organizing. I learned basically all of the skills that I used entering into the workforce by working with peers who like had this drive and this passion for social justice for like everyone around us. And that was like the most influential thing in my life.
So like out of curiosity, is that how that's what led you to pick your specific particular mission right now, right? Because there's so many great causes and missions and things that need to be changed and fixed and just, you know, updated in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this what kind of led you to your current passion, do you feel?
So I meditated on it. I worked a lot of odd jobs, one in a cafe. Everybody was like, religion and anthropology, what are you going to do with your life?
I'm going to stay here in the cafe and meditate on it until I figure it out and change the world.
I actually meditated on it. It was probably my most consistent period of like sitting and meditating. And I realized that if I could have access to these tools, everybody deserved access to them. Like we all deserve the witnessing of our best selves every day. Mass incarceration is a huge issue. It's a very racially disparate issue. Some of our greatest community leaders are living out incredibly long sentences. Mm. You know, we can trace incarceration back through war on drugs, redlining, New Jim Crow, all the way back into slavery. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was raised Catholic and there was this like draw to be on this like righteous side, right? It came from a lot of guilt back then. I think, you know, still recovering from that. But there is this draw to be on a righteous side because it's like, you know, you learn about these great atrocities in when you're a child and you think like, never me. I won't let that happen. I never would. But we do every day. We co-create the conditions for like atrocities to happen every single day.
We're living in a machine and it takes bravery to step out and recognize it and do something about it.
Well, I think that it does take courage, but it also takes like, it takes community support, right? Like we owe it to each other and to ourselves to hold each other accountable in ways that promote more healing in the world. Mm-hmm. And until we can find places to be able to do that, you know, the good news is we all need each other. And I think that we will get there, right?
I hope so. I really hope so. Community, this, the need for community, whether you're in denial of that or not, or you're, you know, standing on the mountaintop saying it, it's innate. It's a human, it's like love. We all need to be connected somehow. Mm-hmm. We all want to just intertwine and be together. And that's the stronghold community.
Yeah. And it's not this idea that everything is perfect, right? It's like this idea that we are so like unapologetically and uncompromisingly committed to each other that we can dream past the systems that we've inherited that might perpetuate violence or oppression or harms in ways that we like shame individuals for doing. It means that we can like dream together to reimagine and recreate something that is like the best possibility for all of us. And it's going to take work and challenge and ups and downs and accountability, but we can do it.
We're living in the greatest days of innovation and times to be able to do this. So there's a lot of hope. When we come back, because we're going to take a quick break, a quick one this time, I promise. I want to get into, you are currently the Director of Justice and Reentry Services at the Transformation Yoga Project. That's a mouthful. And I want to break that down. I want to hear what that is, what you're doing, how you're doing it. Because now we're getting sticky. Now we're going into prisons. Now we're making stuff happen. People are scared of that. You're charging into them. You're running out of here in a half hour to go to one. So I want to break this down and hear why and how you're being a rock star. Get up, Army. Do not move because we'll come to your house. We'll be right back here. WCHE. We're back like a screaming baby on an airplane. It's the Get Up Power Hour every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. Tell your neighbors, tell your mom, tell your boss you need off. Because from 1 to 2 p.m. every Thursday, right here, 1520 WCHE and MarkHaefer.com, you can live stream global. And we come to rock your socks. We didn't show up to be average. And I got a very above average guest sitting across from me right now. Kev, crank that. Crank that. Woo! We got a rock show going on here. Tear the roof off this mother. I'll tell you what. Yo, I got Bree Murphy here. And Bree Murphy gave us the background of her passions, of her background, of what she's doing, local girl doing rock star stuff. And now I want to get into this because she's sitting here like a boss, and she is the Director of Justice and Reentry Services at the Transformation Yoga Project. What did I just say, Bree? I feel like that's two different companies that were like meshed together. And I don't understand what I just said. So now I'm talking as a fan and somewhat of interest. So it's when I see it, the director, you are the director of the Justice and Reentry Services at the Transformation Yoga Project. So by the name, I'm thinking you're helping people that are incarcerated through yoga integrate back into the community.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great.
Get your T-shirts, Get Up Army.
Yeah, you want to just walk in front of me everywhere I go and say that? No. So our organization, like I said, we work in trauma-sensitive yoga, providing opportunities and access for the practice to overcome impacts of trauma inside of recovery centers. So we have a director of recovery and behavioral health inside of justice spaces. So voila, me.
Yeah.
And also in school-based settings. And so Justice and Reentry Services is the name that, if you can imagine, has evolved over time and changed so that the language fully reflects what we do. But we seek to acknowledge that justice doesn't just happen inside, doesn't mean that folks are inside of a prison, but we also are looking at like the broader impacts of mass incarceration, school to prison pipeline, acknowledging that, you know, some schools that young folks might be in create environments that are either over policed or higher rates of young folks going to detention centers, more police staff or correctional staff than counselors that are present, like all of these different environments and situations that our institutions create, and acknowledging that There is a link. There are statistics that we can trace that show that we create these higher risks for young folks to end up inside of institutions or to be somebody who is reentering.
Okay, so you're going into these institutions and you're having them do yoga. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, so I get to work with a team of amazing instructors, some who are outside in the community, who work at our county facilities, our detention centers, some folks who have been with us for years since the start of the organization, since other local folks, Mike Huggins and Colleen DeVirgilius, really started this work in like 2013. And we also have instructors who are incarcerated, who Colleen and I have trained over the past several years to teach inside of the institutions themselves. And so we do yoga, and it's very much rooted in relationship. Like the trauma sensitivity piece, we can't create safety for others. We have to create safety together, mm-hmm. right? So unless we're really committing to community and to what's happening, we aren't really providing a trauma sensitive experience. And so it's like a facilitated yoga practice that seeks to honor the philosophical tenets as well as present, like, you know, breathing practices for stress management.
Okay, so this is interesting. So you go in and you're offering all these things that are so helpful. They're you know, it talks to your soul, it speaks to your physiology and your mentality and your biology. Now, what kind of challenges do you guys, when you go into these institutions, what do you face? Like, you know, what are some of the issues that come with the territory? I mean, do you have people that are negligent, opposing you? Do you get resistance from the institutions themselves? Like, what do you got to deal with?
Yeah, when we first started this work, we really had to kind of like stay on institutions, and there was a lot of resistance because it was like, yoga, why? I actually just walked into an institution yesterday that was like very apparent that somebody was upset that the people who were incarcerated there were getting access to things like yoga. And so there has been a mindset sometimes that, you know, it's a practice that like doesn't mean anything. Like, why would we offer yoga in this space? And I understand, because the way that yoga has been like commercialized and westernized has really turned into this like fitness trend where you have to have the right pants and you have to
It's commercialized.
Carry a yoga mat in. And if you aren't like a thin 30-something white woman, then, you know, this isn't the space for you, which, of course, is due to, like, the appropriation that happens when we brought this, when we started to really capitalize on the practice itself.
So you're saying the stigma is, if you're not the hot 38-year-old blonde soccer mom with the $39 yoga mat, like, it's not for you.
I think there was that, right?
Okay.
And we have to work against the mass like media information that was put out there for a long time when this was being so commercialized. And so there's been resistance around it, but over the past 5 years, it's really shifted and changed to where we now have institutions calling us to say, we really want a trauma sensitive program, or we really have been looking for yoga.
Really?
And so
now, do you credit this particular group that you're working with, the Justice and Reenter Services at the Transformation Yoga Project, as spearheading this locally?
Oh, I think locally, yes. This organization has like really just been consistent. Our instructors are incredible. They're so consistent. They show up and are, you know, bringing themselves to these classes.
Brie, I'm about to drop a bomb.com here.
Go
have
ahead.
You and your the people that you work with, have you guys ever considered? And again, speaking out of ignorance is just a listener here, right, on the other end. Have you guys ever considered taking this on a national platform?
So we have a lot of really incredible organizations that I actually trained with as I was, you know, growing as a young adult, post-graduation. Yoga Behind Bars does work like this and has, I believe, since 2011 in Washington State. Prison Yoga Project, founded by James Fox, but now under the leadership of Bill Brown, does amazing thing. Yoga Service Council has been really influential in like orchestrating, getting all these groups together. And, you know, we all communicate, because while incarceration and mass incarceration is a surprisingly local issue, like, so for everybody who feels like, what do I do? Or like, oh, the president just made this, you know, made this decision and now that's going to solve or hurt this problem. It's such a deeply local issue. But we all do coordinate and talk and keep in touch to figure out, like, you know, what are the things that transcend those individualized challenges.
And to be innovative, like you touched on earlier. I mean, this goes back to of all time, where many minds put together creating a think tank. It's going to be nothing but beneficial to see how you can make progress in anything.
Well, really, the question for that, though, is like, what is the end goal? What is the ultimate impact, right? Is the ultimate impact to, you know, expand unendingly, or is the ultimate impact liberation? And I think for all of us and for coordinating across, across any sort of barrier, whether it's our teachers who are incarcerated, whether it's the organization that's, you know, on the other side of the country, like, liberation just has to be the end goal.
You just blew my mind. This is like the fastest interview ever. I have so many questions to ask, and like we're up against a break again in 2 minutes. Okay, so you got this misconception from all these institutions and everything else, right? So how do you challenge the misconception? Like you just noted that, you know, earlier in the week you went to a place that was clearly not, you know, doing backflips over the fact that some of the incarcerated have this time, whereas you see it as therapeutic and beneficial. They may see it as they're getting some liberties that maybe they feel that they're not entitled to. So how do you challenge the misconceptions that are out there, you know, as a organization? What do you do with that?
Well, I think that we have to commit to kind of like this ability to work alongside and establish like kind of like flattened hierarchies amongst people from the outside and people on the inside. We have this preconceived notion that good people stay out and bad people go in, and that's just fundamentally flawed and not true. And we especially can't build that in a side of a society that holds people but not institutions accountable, right? And like has this very, you know, flip side of the coin set of standards for how we collectively and culturally operate. And, you know, I think that raising awareness, collaborating to those most directly impacted by this issue to figure out what stories need to come out, what narratives need to shift, how do we educate and change, change perception, but also like fundamentally, how do we show up? And I think this is where like the yoga practice part comes in. Is how do we continue to show up like in love and in compassion, even when things are challenging, so that we can like be so consistent and so present that no matter what shows up in front of us, like we have that uncompromising commitment to each other and to community and to relationship and to the known like possibility of what we can get to if we can stand in front of this and say, okay, and walk through the door and be back in community with people. And continue to build and continue to dream.
And continue to build and continue to dream. High freaking five, Bree Murphy. That's what I'm talking about. The boss, Bree Murph, up in the spot here in the Get Up Power Hour. Yo, Kev is gonna pay some bills, baby. We are gonna go take a quick break before our last part of the show here. Do not go anywhere because I wanna see where this program is going. We'll be right back. Get Up Army on 1520 WCHE. Committed to excellence, the Get Up Power Hour, every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. I'm your host, Mark Hayford, rocking it, 1520 WCHE, sitting across from the Director of Justice and Reentry Services at the Transformation Yoga Project. It's Bree Murphy. Holy moly, Bree. All right, let's get at this. We got to go some rapid fire here. Man, so let's go with I am someone who's incarcerated. I've been there 5-6 years. I played football in high school, whatever, and you come in talking this rah-rah, I got to do yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't trying to hear it. I don't care about it, whatever. Like, what is this ultimately going to do for me? Why should I try it? What's it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I never rah-rah. I talk very much.
I rah-rah every hour Thursday.
I can tell. It's so good. I mean, you got to be real with it. And this has had a real impact in my life. And so I share that. You know, I believe in congruency and not a curated identity.
So you come as the advocate and you bare your soul. Hey, this is what this has done
sometimes
for me.
I mean, sometimes our instructors go and, you know, we'll just lead a class. Sometimes I'm recruiting for a class to give information, answer questions, because there's, again, a lot of misconceptions about what needs to happen in this practice or should be happening.
Takes
but
guts.
I mean, reality, it's not a panacea. You know, if yoga's not for you, cool.
Yeah.
Like, there's one more thing that you know that you don't like.
I love that. Most people aren't trying something. Try so you know what you do like, what you don't like, what you're good at, what you don't, you know.
I mean, those are all really important things to coming back to, like, our own power and strength and agency to make decisions and decide what we want to do with ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our time. Like, you know, so if folks are resistant and they come and they try it out and they get a benefit, cool. But honestly, our participants are our greatest, like, advertisement. Somebody comes through, like, you know, if you're the first person inside of an men's institution, because there's a binary for the state, right? Not everybody identifies that way, but inside of a men's institution, and you're deciding to go to a yoga class, you've done decades of work on yourself and are really drawn and passionate for the, you know, in my experience, most of the people that I see, this is what I've witnessed and been fortunate enough to be in proximity to. It's like people who are really dedicated to this process of self-discovery want the benefits, already have a practice maybe, mm-hmm. and then they have the, you know, the sway and credibility to draw more people in because they're going to say, hey, you know, I tried this. It's great.
I mean, we did a live, the Get Up Power Hour was live over at Timothy's in Lionville, one of our sponsors, a couple weeks ago. I had 250-pound former NFL defensive tackle Brandon Noble talking about how he does hot yoga and how mm-hmm. it really just helps him center himself and feel health. I mean, so it's so interesting. Okay, so ultimately, what impact do you envision all this work having? What do you see?
I mean, I would live for the day that our inside instructors who are teaching right now and impacting and exponentially on like secure lockdown units doing hard work, live for the day that they are able to come out and really just like expand that impact exponentially just because the barriers to do so are taken down.
I mean, you're under the umbrella of yoga, but what I hear here is liberation mm-hmm. and healing. Mm-hmm. That's what I hear love. I hear liberation. I hear healing. I hear like, mm-hmm. That's another t-shirt. High five. I want 10% of all this. Okay.
Rude.
All right. Listen, who's supporting this? Who supports the direction of this work? Who's got your back?
Yeah. So we have this whole great, robust organization behind us. Again, instructors who have been with us, who work as, in anywhere from one class a week, one class a month, to multiple institutions, multiple classes who are really dedicating their lives. Again, shout out to like our staff and team.
No, well, I was going to say, you got a staff, right?
Yeah.
How many people you got?
So just for the justice side, we have about maybe over 20 contractors who rotate in and out. Our staff is about 10 people. I've worked super closely with, you know, our director of training and of recovery and behavioral health, our grant writer, our social media person, like all of those folks. I mean, they're carrying this work forward. They're continuing to like challenge each other and push back on our language, our values, and how do we live them out in the world and as an organization.
All right, Brie, mm-hmm. listen.
And all of our people on the inside who are teaching classes.
I love that.
Are amazing.
And you're looking to expand this, mm-hmm. right, with people I can jump in. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to put the words in someone else's mouth, but if the Justice Committee was here today, mm-hmm. we gave them a hot mic and said, yo, fellas, roll, tell us mm-hmm. what you got. What would they want us to know?
So, yeah, the Justice Advisory Committee is a new group that our most recent graduates inside of SEI Phoenix that we've formed together. And so it's some of our staff members as well as people who are serving long-term sentences or shorter sentences inside of the institution. And so I was fortunate enough to get some, like, insight from them. And some of it is really, like, from a colleague of ours, Bobby Labar. Some of it is talking about, like, how challenging it can be in the trenches because you're constantly balancing the pressures to be able to, like, speak truth to power and live your truth as a community and as individuals, but also understand the systems that you're living inside of and working within. Another Charles, he was speaking a lot about his personal experience and relationship to sitting face to face in front of the people who were harmed by the reason that he's there and how, you know, this really creates this place where you have nowhere left to go but to sit with that truth and what possibilities open up for you in terms of your impact when you face that and when you sit there inside of that. And he's really talked a lot about how sharing our stories, our personal stories, can be some of the most impactful things when we start to, you know, choose not to forget people, mm-hmm. right? Like choose actively not to forget people and to continue to humanize. And I love this from Yahya, a quote from Mumia Abu-Jamal, struggles exist, alternatives exist. Struggle to connect, to imagine ourselves better, to imagine a better world, to take responsibility day by day, step by step, to change the small things that we can control and refusing to accept the larger things that appear out of control. And that's from Live from Death Row. And so, you know, like I said, and another Justice Advisory Committee member, Stan, has reinforced that this is really a local issue. And so there are Senate bills, House bills that are present right now that we can really take the reins on. So Senate Bill 942, House Bill 135, check them out, learn about them.
There you go. And I just love the fact that you're living out loud here. So let me wrap it with this, because unfortunately, this, again, every time we have rock star guests on here, this hour flies like a freaking cuckoo clock on fire. But let me ask you this. How can people contact you or the Transformation Yoga Project if they're looking to get involved, if they're looking to somehow be an advocate or I don't know if they, you know, donate or their time or their resources? How can they get in contact with you guys?
Yeah, so certainly check out our website. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, transformationyogaproject.org. You can email justice@transformationyogaproject.org and find me on the other end of it responding to your request and inquiry. We have a recovery book that is out that our team worked together to produce, and our founder. And so anybody can have that resource. Those are all the different ways that you can get in touch with us.
Well, this is incredible. And, you know, look, again, right, I want to thank you not just for coming on this program, but I want to thank you for living out loud. The whole mantra of my life and what we do is we're not promised dinner time. We're not getting more time. We have to play all out now. We have to make a purpose and be on purpose now. So, listen, grass does not grow on a busy highway. Bree Murph holding down the turf. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, that was the Director of Justice and Reentry Services at the Transformation Yoga Project, the 2020 Vista Millennial Superstar, Bree Murphy. Want you guys to get involved. If you have a passion for what she just spoke about for this past hour, reach out, get involved, do something. And I want to end the program on this. Maybe your passion is not yoga. Maybe your passion is not reentry. But I want to ask you, Get Up Army, what is your passion? What are you doing? Are you living out loud? Are you playing all out? Are you leaving it on the field? We've heard it all the times before. Everyone always does that where, hey, we have the start date, we have the end date, and we have the dash. What do you do with your dash? Well, no, Get Up Army. I'm not asking you, what do you do with your dash? I'm asking you, if we're your eulogy, what are they saying about you? What am I saying about you? Did you play all out? Did you not hold back? Did you worry about what other people thought? Or did you just go for it? Did you take your passion? Did you lift up others? And did you make a difference? Because I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to this program, you do matter. You do make a difference. And you can be impactful. Remember, it takes one to start a revolution. And all it takes is one good shot. For Bree Murphy, for Mark Hayford, for this handsome guy, Kev, working the boards like a beast today. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here for the Get Up Power Hour. We will see you next and every Thursday right here on 1520 WCHE from 1 to 2 p.m. I'm your boy Mark Hayford, and I'm always in your corner. See you guys next week.